Lord makes. All because of Jesus. Amen. I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. 1 Chronicles 22, begin reading in verse number 1. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and I pray that you'll add your blessing to the reading of it. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with the preaching of it. Our hearts have already been stirred today. On music by the Sunday school hour, by all things that have taken place up to this point. Now as we come to this time, I pray that your hand of unction and anointing be upon the messenger. Hide me, dear Lord, behind the cross. Lord, may this not be about me, or may I not be seen, but may Christ be seen. May our hearts be stirred to serve you in a greater way. Lord, may we go out of here closer to thee. If there be one here without Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the day to come to trust thee. Now, Lord, I know I can deliver this message, but I can't do it myself. I can't do it in my strength. I'm so weak and unable. So I'm going to ask for thy divine enabling. Use me, O Lord, as a vessel unto honor. It's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If we were to go back a few chapters, we would see that David tells Nathan, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And David was concerned about the fact that he lived in a palace with great beauty and elaborate furnishings, while the house of God was in a tent. He wanted to do something about that, and he was determined to build a house of God that would exceed and excel all other buildings in beauty and magnificent. It's to be exceeding magnifical. It's to be spoken of and spoken about. And even to this day, we talk about Solomon's temple. We talk about the beauty of it. We talk about the magnificence of it. In our text here in 1 Chronicles, David is preparing for that building. He's looking for that. But the thing is that David knows that his days on earth are short and death is going to come and it soon would be at his door. So he wanted to prepare for death. He wanted to prepare before he died. He wanted to be prepared before he died. And that's what I want to preach on today, is abundantly prepared for death. Death's not a subject we like to talk about. But it's a reality that we all have to face. We need to understand that death is something that is coming our way. And you're not going to get away from it. The Bible says, so David prepared abundantly before his death. And by the way, you need to prepare before your death to be sure you're prepared for death. Amen? And there was two areas that we see in this particular passage that David was concerned about. He wanted right. He wanted, first of all, the house of his God right. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Then said David, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." Before David died, he wanted to know that he had done everything he could for the house of God. Now, if you know the story, David wanted to build a house for the Lord. But because of certain things in his past, God said, "You can't." But he gave permission that his son could, and Solomon was that son that was going to build that house. And so David, knowing that he could not build the house, he wanted to do everything that he possibly could to ensure that the house was built and to be sure that it was going to be a beautiful sight. It was going to be something wonderful and something glorious. So before he died, he wanted to know that he had done everything he could for the house of God. He loved the place of worship. He loved the tent. He loved going into that place. There's no doubt he loved the place of worship, and he counted it a joy when it was time for him to go to the house of God. This brings me to the question for us today. If you had to face death today, how would it be with you in relationship to the church here, this church that you're a part of? How much has your church meant to you? But even so, how much have you meant to your church? Would you be missed? Certainly it'd be missed, but would it be missed because more than just because you took up a place on the pew? Or would you be missed because of your involvement in the things of the house of God? You understand? Be prepared. And when that day comes, when your day of death comes and we're having a funeral and honoring your life, let it be such that people could say, boy, they love the Lord and they love the church and they put themselves into it. They were there in the services. They were a part of it all. Be able to give a great account for what you've done in the church. The church that Jesus loved, by the way, and gave himself for. Be sure that you can give a good account to God for that. He wanted the house of his God right. When you leave this world, you want to be sure you leave with a good testimony with the church. Amen? Then he wanted the house of his son right. Verse number 5, the Bible says that Solomon, my son, David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And David knew that he was going to be gone soon. He knew that he was going to die, and he was concerned about his son and what he would be leaving him. And David had learned, if you look at David's life, he learned the hard way about doing wrong. And he didn't want Solomon to learn those things. You know how we do as parents. You know what it is we say. I've already been there. I know these things. You just think you know everything, but I want you to know I've already lived this life. I've already been a teenager. I know what it's like to be a teenager. I know what you're going through. You think I'm just a dummy? You know? I've never said that to my kids. I really have never said that to my kids. I don't want to admit how dumb I am sometimes, you know? Because they might say, well, yeah, but you know. But you remember, I had those talks. My parents talked to me in a way. I thought, I know what's best here. I'm 18 years old. I'm invincible. I can do whatever I want. I'm an adult now. No, 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 no. Y'all remember that? Free, independent. I can do whatever I want now. My dad said, as long as you're under my roof, you'll do what I say. And I said, yes, sir. You know, he had me convinced. He didn't have to bring out the belt or anything. I made sure of that. That belt hit me a few times, and it made me know I didn't want it anymore. You say, I don't like that. I don't like that your dad gave you a spanking. The Bible says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. It didn't say, spare the rod, spoil the child. It said, spare the rod, you hate your son. It's correcting. It's not beating your son. My dad corrected me the right way. And if you want to argue about it, then, you know, What greater thing? And look, I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I have a Christian family. I pastor a church in the work of the Lord. That probably wouldn't happen if my dad hadn't straightened me out along the way. God straightened me out too. David wanted the house of his son right. David had learned things the hard way, and you know that he had spoken to his son, and Solomon listened to some of it and some of it he didn't. Solomon made a lot of mistakes, didn't he? We can't live their life for them. But let me ask you something. What are you going to leave your children if death comes knocking? It's not about how much money you leave them. It's not about giving them wealth and possessions. But what are they going to know about God because of your life? The greatest thing that you can leave your children is a good testimony. If I can teach my children the things of God and live a life in front of them, teaching them that God is good, I've done so much more than if I left them millions of dollars in the bank. Patrick Henry said, if I didn't have anything to leave them, if I left them nothing but gave them Christ, then I've given them everything. Isn't that wonderful? We understand that we have a responsibility, and before we die, we want to be sure there are some things right. And we need to be abundantly prepared. We prepare before death for death. And we need to be abundantly prepared for some things. Whether you believe the Bible or not, we know that we have an appointment to keep with death. Has any of you ever known somebody that has lived forever? I know you're looking around, you're saying, well, these people aren't dead yet. But how many of you look around and say, I know everybody in here, if the Lord doesn't return, is going to die. Right? You're not going to escape it. It's an appointment that you have. Your days are numbered. I don't know how many there are. I don't know how many years, how many months, how many weeks, or how many days. But I can tell you this. There's going to be an end to your days here on earth as you know it. There is an appointment that you're going to keep. And there is an appointment that I'm going to keep. And that appointment is with death. And the question is are you prepared? Are you ready? What if death were to knock at your door today? None of us like the thought of death. None of us like the topic of death. But we all have to face the reality of it. You may not leave your children much to fuss over. You may not leave your church some great amount of money, you know, for whatever. But you can leave your children, you can leave your church with a testimony that you knew the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and that you finished strong. Boy, what a good Sunday school lesson that was this morning. Finishing strong. Going on to the end. Coming down to the end of the days and looking back over your life and seeing that God's hand was there all along the way and that you could finish strong. And in the end of your days, you did what was right with God. I'll give you a few things here this morning of great importance about being prepared. Some things you need to be prepared for and ask you the question, are you prepared? Are you prepared? First of all, are you prepared for the journey across? Are you prepared for the journey across? Whether by the coming of the Lord or the rapture that we call it or by way of the grave, I want you to know that you and I are going to leave this world one day. There's no doubt about it. It's a journey that none of us that are here have experienced yet. Look around. That person sitting next to you, they may look dead, but they're alive. Amen? You feel a pulse? I hope you do. If you don't, we'll call 911. But none of us here have experienced it. But you're going to. One thing that could happen, you know, before we even meet again tonight, before this group ever comes together again, somebody could step out into eternity. Death's not a respecter of persons. Death don't just come to the old. It comes to the young, to the old, to the healthy, and to the unhealthy. It comes to rich, to poor. It comes to black, to white, to red, to yellow. It comes to all. Death happens. Every day people die. Are you ready for the journey across? Are you prepared if death were to come or if the rapture were to take place? David knew that he was about to take that journey across, and the Bible says he prepared abundantly before the journey. Don't wait till the end to prepare for the journey. Don't wait till the deathbed to prepare for the journey. Because it could be too late. Oh, God's grace certainly is sufficient. But we must understand that when we realize we're lost and undone, that's the time to deal with our journey. That's the time to deal with our eternity. Because God does not promise that He'll deal with you at the end of your life. God does not promise to you that He will speak to you about your need for Christ. And I'm convinced we need to be convinced that we're lost before we'll ever be saved. We need to have an understanding that we need the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul's death was not a sudden death. He knew it was coming. But you remember what the Bible says. The day that it came, he could say that he was abundantly prepared. Remember what he wrote when he said, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." You know what he was saying? I made preparations. There's a journey ahead of me, and that journey is going to be across to the other side. I'm going over yonder, as the Bible says. I'm headed home. But he made preparations before the end of his life came. Are you prepared for the journey across? Can you say right now, can you at this very moment say, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. If I were to die right now, I know that heaven's going to be my home. That's not a foolish question, because it's the one that determines our destination for all eternity. And it was for this abundant preparation that Jesus Christ came into the world. You remember what he said in John chapter 10? He said, "I am come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly." Christ came so that you could be prepared for death. Dear friends, to the saint of God, death is not defeat. Death is victory. Death is not fear. Death is rejoicing. Death is the promise of God taking hold of our life and bringing us on home to glory. Death is a journey across to a wonderful shore where Christ and loved ones will meet us again. Are you prepared for the journey across? And if your answer to that is yes, I'm prepared. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're saved. By the way, you're not prepared if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be a member of a church and die and go to hell. You can be baptized and die and go to hell. You can take the Lord's Supper and die and go to hell. You can give millions and millions of dollars to the church and die and go to hell. You can be a good neighbor and die and go to hell. You can be a good son, a good daughter, and die and go to hell. You can be a good daddy and a good mommy and die and go to hell. But if you cannot be a born-again Christian and die and go to hell, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, heaven will be your home. If you're here today and you can't say, "I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven's going to be my home," then this is the day for you to get it settled. Once and for all, Jesus Christ died for you, and you can abundantly prepare for that day. I don't know when death's coming. I'm 42 years old. Was that Sunday school we talked about that? Was that in Sunday school or was that in service that I talked about me having a few more days left? Sunday school. Okay. I'm getting old. I'm 42, and I feel like I've got a lot of life ahead of me, but some days I feel like I don't, you know? You ever feel like that? You think you've got plenty of time. You know how fast life's going by me now? How fast is life going for you? Isn't it scary? We're almost in the year 2010 now. I know, we're just in September. But shouldn't it still be January? You understand? You better be ready. Because your life's coming to an end. I'm not gloom and doom. To me, the end of life is not a bad thing. I'm sorry. I don't look forward to death, but it doesn't scare me. I'm prepared. I got it settled August 1985. And that night I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I've not been perfect since that time, but He has been perfect. If you were to look at my record and look at my life, there would be times you'd say, "I don't even know if that guy's saved." But you don't look at me through who I am. You look at me through who He is. See, my record was placed on His account, and His blood covered all my sin. And I'm just about to have a spell, because I'm really thinking about all that the Lord Jesus has done for me. Death is just the beginning. Amen. And I don't want to die today, but if I were to die, I want you to have all the assurance in the world that in just an instant I'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Are you prepared for the journey across? If you can say, yes, I'm prepared. Let me ask you this question. Are you prepared for the judgment awaiting? If you say, yes, I'm saved and heaven's going to be my home, I'm ready, I'm prepared. As far as my life and eternal life goes, I know I'm saved. Then are you ready for the judgment of Christ? Are you ready for the judgment awaiting? There's a judgment waiting every child of God. It's an appointment. Death's an appointment. This judgment is an appointment. The Bible says in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 5, verse number 10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear." We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Are you ready for that? I know I'm saved. You know you're saved? If you know you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
It's good to be saved, isn't it? It's good to know that heaven's going to be my home. That's my final destination. I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all eternity. But the fact of the matter is that I will stand before this Christ. And I will give an account, and you will give an account. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you will give an account for what we've done with Him. What have we been doing with all the things that's been placed in our care? So many times we have so little time for God. Think about it. Think about what we're going to present to the Lord with our life when we stand before the Lord Jesus at judgment. Think about every excuse that we're going to try to come up with when we give a reason for not doing this or not doing that or for not taking care of what God has given us to take care of. And we look and we start thinking about all these excuses and we start looking at Him and we see the nail prints in His hand and we see the brow where the thorns were placed upon it, and we see those scars, and we see the love of Christ in His eyes as it looks down at us. Think about trying to make an excuse when He did everything for us. And truly, He asked us to do so little for Him. Are you prepared for the judgment that's awaiting? This seems like it's been on my mind so much lately. It must be for me. I preach on it quite a bit, it seems like, just in sermons, not intending to. But we're going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to give an account, not for our sins. Our sins were judged at the cross of Calvary. But we're going to give an account of what we've done with Christ, with the things that He's placed in our lives. I think of people that I've known throughout my life, people that were in church that were just soldiers of Christ, and now it seems like many of them have slipped from the ranks. They're no longer on the battlefield. You know, that old song says, "I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Some say give me silver, and some say give me gold. I say give me Jesus, He satisfies my soul. I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in the war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. When I stand before the Lord, if I'll die on the battlefield, it'll be a much more glorious entrance. If when Jesus comes and gets us, or when death knocks on my door, we're on the battlefield, dear friends, it'll be a glorious entrance. Then we're going to give that account. Oh, people that once served the Lord and gave themselves to the things of God. People used to sing in church and give their life to serving God and sing in the choir and took part in the Sunday school classes and was there Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday night and Wednesday night. And now, not because of health, not because of providential things, but because of choice, they're not faithful. They don't sing in the choir anymore. They don't sing specials, of course, here. If you're going to sing specials, you're supposed to be in the choir. If you're going to be singing specials and singing in the choir, you're supposed to be here for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You say, why do you make such things like this? Because we want people to be real. We want people that's going to have this heart for God and a heart for the church. And because we want to stand before the Lord. We're trying to help people out. We try to help people out to do the right thing. I'm convinced that there's not many Christians that really believe that they're going to have this day of account. I talk to people all the time that say they're saved, and you look at their life, and they don't think they're going to stand before the Lord. Because there's a lot of people that if they really thought they're going to stand before the Lord, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Wouldn't be living the way they're living. You understand? Are you prepared for the judgment awaiting? Are you prepared for the journey across? Are you prepared for the judgment awaiting? This business of really serving God to so many, it's just a joke to a lot of people anymore, isn't it? But let's be real. Let's be real Christians. And let's be ready to give that account to God. And finally, this is a great thing. Are you prepared for the journey across? I hope you can say yes. Are you prepared for the judgment awaiting? And that's an everyday thing. You're preparing yourself day by day for that. This last thing is just something to rejoice over. Are you prepared for the joyous assembly? It's going to be wonderful there. It's going to be glorious there. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? What a time that's going to be, and what a day that's going to be. David, the Bible said, was ready to walk through the valley of the shadow of death because he knew that he was ready for the journey of cross. But more than that, David was ready to go and to meet those of his own family that had gone on before him. David was excited about heaven. You remember when David's little baby died? You remember what he said? He made this statement. He said, I can't bring my baby back, but I can go to him. Oh, how sweet heaven's going to be. All the loved ones that have gone on before that knew Christ as Savior, they're waiting on us over there. And it's going to be a joyous assembly. A lot of people may have lost sight of these things, but there's going to be a joyous assembly of the saints of God in that city where night will never come. There'll be a happy meeting, the song says, in heaven, I know. When we see the many loved ones we've known here below, gathered on the blessed hilltops with hearts all aglow, that will be a glad reunion day. What a day that's going to be. There'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness. No more pain. No more parting over there. And forever will be with the one who died for me. What a day. What a glorious day that's going to be. Before David died, he abundantly prepared. He got some things ready. He set some things in order. Are you prepared? Everything we do in our life should be in preparation for our eternity. Write it down. Mark it down. Say it however you want to say it. But everything we do in our life should be in preparation for our eternity. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The treasures you lay up on earth will rust, will corrupt, the moth will eat it away. But those treasures you lay up in heaven, the moth won't be able to get to it. There is no corruption there, and there'll be no rusting there. It's laid aside to give back to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a papaw that died in 1970. January 1970. My papaw Shelton. And I remember vaguely certain things about my papaw. I remember his prayers. Sometimes because he prayed long prayers at night. We would pray together when I would stay all night. And he'd pray 30, 45 minutes. I remember certain things about him. I remember how much he loved me. I remember holding his hand. I wasn't even three, but I remember that. And I remember the last day that I saw him alive. And I said, "Papaw, I don't know why God allowed me to remember this." I said, "Papaw, can we go outside and play? It's January." And he was sitting in the brown chair that my mamma had. And it was there until just a few months ago. It's probably in the basement now. And I remember him sitting in that chair, leaning over to his side, and he's saying, "I just don't feel good. But the next time you come." And he died just a couple of days later. And went home to be with the Lord. And all my life, I've heard about how he walked with God. By people that lived around him. There wasn't anybody that had a need. My mamma and papa were poor. But they'd give the last bit of groceries. One time, my mamma said that there was neighbors that didn't have anything. And papa heard about it and came in and he took everything they had out of their cupboard. Everything. Didn't have anything left, and took it and gave it to him. And said, we'll just have to trust God. Amen. They got up the next morning, and there was bags of groceries on the porch. He walked by faith, and I never really got to know him. But one day, I'm going to meet him. The same God that robed himself in flesh and died on a cross became his Savior is my Savior. And one day we're all going to meet together in him. That will be a glad reunion day. Are you prepared? Are you ready? I didn't do this work on emotions because I didn't know I was going to say it. I want you to think about your life. And I want you to ask yourself, are you ready? Have you made preparations? Everything we do in life is in preparation for our eternity. What I do today, I shall give an account for. What I do with Christ today, I shall give an account for. Have I trusted Christ as my Savior? I'm prepared for the journey across. Are you? I'm prepared for my eternity. Are you? A judgment I'm not so sure about. But I want to make preparations day by day. And I am ready for the joyous assembly. Because that's going to be a great thing about heaven, isn't it? When we see the many loved ones we've known here below. Oh, yes. What a day that's going to be. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want you to think about the preparation that's been made in your life. I want you to think about what you're doing with your days. Are you prepared for the journey across? If death were to come today to you, you say, I'm young. It's not going to happen to me. Read the paper every day. There's little children, teenagers, young adults stepping out to eternity. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Maybe you're here today and you've lived your life, but you know you've never truly trusted Christ as Savior. Why don't today you come and make preparations for the journey across? It doesn't matter how old, how young you are. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to go to heaven? Have you trusted Christ by faith? Have you made preparations? If you haven't, then this day, let this be the day. If you've made those preparations, what about the judgment? We will stand before the Lord Jesus. What are you doing with your life? How are you living your days? What are you doing with what He has placed in your care? Are you accomplishing His will? Have you given your life to doing His will? Oh, may we be ready. By the way, when you've made preparations for the journey across and you're making preparations for the judgment that's awaiting, then I want you to understand the joyous assembly is going to be that much sweeter. Oh, let's be abundantly prepared. Before death comes, let's be prepared. And let this day be a reckoning day in our life where we do what God wants us to do. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many would say this morning, Preacher, the Lord's spoken to me about some things.